we're gonna start a new segment on the show, and it's called Even Noah Likes It. Because fine. Noah hates everything. And
I don't hate everything.
Noah likes Nana. Oh, we were gonna talk about High School Girls.
Yeah.
Did you have something else to say about High School?
No, we'll talk about High School Girls.
Okay, so High School Girls is another manga that I was reading, and I heard about it on the Manga Cast, so I picked up a volume. And oh man, so good. It's kind of a...
It's like the NC-17 version of Azumanga Daioh, I guess is how I'd bill it.
Kind of. A lot of people compare it to Azumanga Daioh, but I don't really think that's much of a fair comparison. Like, to me, it's kind of like a, a documentary made of joke, like a mockumentary about girls and all-girls school, where it's not really... The characterizations aren't very strong, but the characters just kind of...
That's not true.
Do a bunch of stupid stuff. I guess there are...
Characterizations are really good.
Okay. But they're not as good as, like, Mr. Sakaki and Chinatown.
Well, we've also had many more volumes of Azumanga Daioh.
There are only 4 volumes of Azumanga Daioh.
Which would be one fewer than there have been of...
There are actually, like, 7 or 8 volumes. I haven't bought them yet. And also, Azumanga Daioh is a strip comic, so...
High School Girls is a strip comic in a different way.
Well, no, I see. So, High School Girls, it's one really confusing thing about the manga, and perhaps now the anime, is that what audience is it aimed at? Because when you read it, the jokes are very much jokes that we've made in all-girls school. Like, there are jokes about menstruation, and jokes about
pubic
hair, and swimming, and shaving.
And peeing in the cup on health day.
Yeah, like very embarrassing private things that girls talk about on their own, but not in mixed gender groups. And then on top of that, there's this level of ridiculous fan service. It's really over the top. Like, these two girls are talking about whatever, and all of a sudden, like, whoa, giant, unnecessary panty shot. But, like, for some reason, if that happened in another show, it would really bother me.
Yeah.
But in High School Girls, like, it's comedic because it's so ridiculous. Where it's like, now that's just excessive.
Well, it really conflates sort of the awkwardness of being high school age with what the viewer, what your average otaku thinks an all-girls high school would be like.
Right. So the jokes are they really strike a realism of this is what girls are actually like in an all-girls school. But you also get a layer of, this is what people think they're like. So they're even, especially in the Health Day episode of the show and in the manga, the same thing. You get at the beginning of it, this is what everyone thinks that the health check day is. Should I explain what a health check day is like?
Sure.
If you're a noob and you haven't seen any anime, then you don't know that
there's a Health Day episode in just about every
there is. In
high school
to an insane
anime.
Extent. So in every Japanese high school, I think it's a national thing, once a year they have a day where they weigh every student and get their breast size girls.
Right.
And that's so weird. Where is the national record keeping of breast sizes of girls in Japan? It's a country with problems.
I'll bet.
They also check
the national breast size archive.
There's a bunch of guys.
You can look it up online.
There's a
www.somethingsomethingsomething.jp.
.whoa.jp. So
the Zumbas.
There's the height of every girl, the weight of every girl, the breast size, and for guys, I assume it's just height and weight and turn your head and cough or something. So, but everyone does it, and it's a big point of embarrassment for girls that are too short, or girls who are too fat, or people who are
flat-chested,
too
or
tall,
worried about anything having to do with how they look, or anything.
Yeah, because in Japan, everyone weighs within about 5 pounds of everyone else. It's
right.
Not like in the States where, in the U.S., people are of massively different heights and weights and builds in high school. Like, because it's less racially pure.
Yeah, well,
because it's more diverse.
Because
it's more, it's so much less homogenous that people come in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. And the only comparable thing we have in the U.S. is, like, they started doing the presidential health and fitness day test to see how out of shape American high schoolers are. And they had things
very.
Like... Yeah, a lot. It turns
like
I think
me.
There's only a scene of that in the movie Girl Fight. That's the only thing I can think of where
no.
They see if you can run a mile, and it turns out a lot of high school kids can't. And if you can do 3 pull-ups, I can't do 1. And to see if you're stretchy, like you put your feet on the ground and you stretch out and you try and touch your toes.
That's the one where
they have a measure.
I wasn't able to. I couldn't do
it at all.
Even the kid from Easter Island can do 1, but not me.
They have like a measuring tape on the ground and seeing how far out can you reach, like, to your toes or further. And that was the only thing. I don't think anything comes of that. Like, I don't know if there's national records kept or... I think you won an award, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Award for Physical Fitness, if you passed all of them. I don't know. Who knows? It may have changed since then, because it's almost been 10 years since I've been out of high school.
Right.
Oh, God. I'm getting old. I'm not going to my 10-year high school reunion next year. That'd be really... Fuck that.
I didn't go to mine.
Maybe I shouldn't swear. What?
I didn't go to mine.
When did you graduate from high school?
96? 92?
Oh, 92. Liar.
92, I went into high school, so 96, yeah.
All right.
Which would be this year. So I haven't yet not attended, but I will not attend.
You weren't even invited. Do they even know you went there?
I can only hope
they've
don't.
They've forgotten.
They've forgotten.
Nobody can track
you. They expected a lot of me, and instead I've risen to my present level of co-hosting a podcast. That's probably my chief accomplishment in life.
That's your claim to fame.
Yeah.
Not really. Okay, so High School Girls is, I would give it the even Noah likes it endorsement.
Yeah.
And the anime is as ridiculous as the manga. I don't think, this is probably not a show that's safe for kids. And I don't think it would appeal to anyone below 8th grade anyway.
I don't know, man.
I don't even know about 8th grade. I might be kind of pushing it.
Safe for kids. It's so difficult for me to understand what's
kids. There's no direct nudity. They talk about sex, but most of the characters are not actually having sex. And you certainly don't get
tame.
To see.
In fact, many of the characters are complaining.
A big problem with this show is that because they go to an all-girls school, most of them cannot find boyfriends at all.
Right.
And they don't actually know how to act around boys, and it's a big problem. They continually want to set up mixers where they'll meet some guys from other schools, but then they just flub it. And this is, a mixer is a real thing, if you believe the Josh in Japan podcast, where high school students will get together on a big, informal double date, but it'll be more than two couples, and it's not really couples. It's like a guy and a girl from different schools, and the guy will bring a bunch of his friends, the girl will bring a bunch of her friends, and they'll go out for karaoke together and maybe drink, which is not legal, but then no one knows, people kind of try and get to know each other, and if any two kids like each other, then they'll hook up and they'll leave the karaoke and they'll find an excuse to go out on their own on a real date. I don't think it's very successful based on my extensive research of high school girls.
Right. But what I like in particular about High School Girls is that whereas in just about every other anime, particularly the harem anime, any contrivance that will get a panty flash, or, you know, people are always being forced into a position where they fall on top of someone or end up kissing someone or fall on top of them and kiss them.
I can't count how many times someone falls on top of someone and their crotch ends up on someone else's head.
Right.
Has that ever happened to you? Because maybe I'm just not hanging out with clumsy people.
Well, here's the thing.
But I am, because Allison hangs out with me. If it would happen to anyone, it would have happened to Allison.
It would have happened to Allison.
And
fact,
it's not, so.
Are you sure?
Mm.
Are you sure?
Allison, rather than tell us if you've ever
fallen. Think about high school girls is that these ridiculous things, they do happen, and yet they happen in a way where it's almost believable. And it's almost believable because the embarrassment of the character is so much a part of the text, I guess I'd say. It's so much about being at this incredibly awkward age. It's as though they culled all of those teen girls magazines for those columns of, oh my God, it was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed when, I'm sure they do. I was so embarrassed I wanted to sink into the floor when this happened to me, and then all the readers will rate that story as to how embarrassing it was.
The editor, right?
So presumably those things happened, and they all happen in High School Girls.
I think when those columns that you're talking about, when they first started coming out in magazines, they had an air of believability, but after they became very popular and they appeared in every girls magazine, as several years of this very popular style column went by, the incidents were no longer believed
right.
at all. When you read them, you're like, that is so fake.
It's like Monkey News
yeah.
on the Ricky Gervais podcast, where at some point Monkey News was real, but now it's gone into the...
Was it?
Beyond the... Yeah. Some of the Monkey News stories were real.
Chimpanzee. Monkey News.
Monkey News, yeah.
Only Matt is laughing now. I think he's our only listener who listens to Ricky Gervais' show. Anyway.
Does he even listen? Who knows?
Okay, so that's High School Girls.
Right.
Let's talk about Ergo Proxy.
Oh, okay.
So Ergo Proxy is very dystopian future sci-fi, and it's very... Someone compared it to Witch Hunter Robin, and at first I was like, why would you compare it to Witch Hunter Robin? That's ridiculous. Because Witch Hunter Robin is very boring for the first seven episodes.
Or
and
Witch
after,
Humper Robin, as you like
no
to call
problem.
It.
After the eighth episode,
you
suddenly,
call it that.
It's something really exciting, and you wished you were paying attention, but
yeah.
You missed it because it's boring.
Yeah.
So in Witch Hunter Robin, there'll be like random CG stuff, like a table that's CG for no reason.
Or an elevator that
in an elevator at CG, and you don't know why, and then in like episode 10, it explodes. And it's like, oh, I guess that made the exploding easier. In Arthroplasty, there is a mix of CG and 2D things, but they explode right away.
Right.
So it's less of a question. And stuff happens in the first three episodes.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's not like Witch Hunter Rabbit at all. Some of the character designs might be slightly reminiscent, but it's so much more in the future. The interesting thing about Ergo Proxy that really stands out is the robot design is very, very different. That they're not, they're humanoid looking, but their faces are freaky, even the ones that are built for sex.
Now here's the question.
What?
Can you give a plot summary of Ergo Proxy, what's happened thus far?
Yes.
Can you?
A secret military weapon has malfunctioned and escaped. And it's going around wreaking havoc, but the military and the whatever police and government of the city are trying to cover it up. The protagonist is a girl who's the daughter of the mayor or whatever, and he's a really old dude, but the city's not just run by the mayor, it's run by like three AIs that look like statues that move kind of weird in two episodes and then kind of better by the third episode. She is investigating what's been these strange occurrences on her own, and what she thinks these occurrences are robots that they're not really supposed to think on their own, and suddenly some of them are just like developing some kind of consciousness and like flipping out, sometimes killing a bunch of people. And she's like, what's causing this? She thinks it's a virus. But as she investigates it, important clues disappear or are covered up to the point where her partner, like not her partner, but like if it was a cop show, it would be her partner, but really it's her robot. He's going around with her and he starts being hacked into by the government people whenever she asks him something that's too sensitive information, or he forgets an important thing that happened to her. So there's a monster as well, besides the robot suddenly gaining consciousness. And the pattern of the attacks goes like this. A robot will suddenly seem it needs help, and it will look like it's praying. It'll put its hands together and fall on its knees. And then suddenly, this crazy monster thing appears. It's probably the escaped military weapon or something. And because they're two different. It's a strange thing, where the monster appears out of nowhere and attacks a bunch of people. And then another robot will come along after it and hopefully save some of the people and get the monster to go away. Do you remember this? Look, I watched it like a month ago.
Yeah, that's why I'm really impressed that you were able to do as much as you did, because I barely remember.
I summarized FLCL in Sci-Fi Club Trivia.
I remember that.
50 points.
I wouldn't have given it to you, but Yvonne was kind.
It was all
what? Don't look at me like that.
I get it right. That's not
you, you did better than I would have. Never mind.
So there's also many images of, there are a lot of religious images. The next important character that shows up is a guy who, he's obviously been chosen as some kind of priest or prophet. And his dreams are haunted by whatever role he's supposed to fulfill in the future. And he's kind of got this strange religious symbol. It looks like a mechanical cross thing. And all the robots are after him because whatever role he's going to fulfill. And he just wants to get away. Now, it's also important that in the future, as the three episodes go on, you realize everyone lives in this city in this giant dome thing. And outside of it is apparently wasteland that no one can live in. And the episode three ends with the priest guy escaping to the outside. And I think the protagonist follows him out there?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know. We're not very far in this series yet.
Yeah.
But it feels very much, at least it feels to me, very much like Ghost in the Shell, maybe without some of the personality, actually, although it's not fair to judge, given that Ghost in the Shell has an enormous body of work behind it. And this is just, you know, starting out, doesn't yet have its legs as a series yet.
I think Ghost in the Shell is more of a straight-up cops investigating things show. And it starts like that. And it's not going to end that way. It's going somewhere else.
Well, it's quite possible.
It's more going with are robots conscious? And, you know, do they pray? Do they have a robot god type of thing? Because of all there's not a theme song until, like, episode three. And when there is, it's a bunch of crazy crap. It's not a very good song.
Well,
it's a bunch of weird imagery.
Just if you're human, if you're a robot, you dig it. Which is funny, because all music sounds like two robots talking to me.
Do you want to do the Five Minute Syndicate?
Sure.
Or, no, maybe we should do listeners' time.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever you want.
Who has written to us this week? Time for the mailbag.
Mailbag. Time to look in the mailbag and see who has written us.
Apparently, the only other time we sang the mailbag song was before Sushi Roll's email, and so now her friends call her mailbag. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
It's a mailbag song. It's a bumper song. You never heard one? All right. Some guy named Tannis writes to us and he says, "Yo, I'm 11. You guys are like seriously the best only podcast of anime on iTunes. Everything else is crap with a capital K. Most of my friends, though, like anime and manga, mostly Fullmetal Alchemist and Naruto. Can you...
Naruto.
Can, in capital letters, you, lowercase u, PLZ, mention me on the show, PLZ, ! I want to brag to my friends that I was, WASW, on a podcast. Sincerely, some seventh grader." This raised a lot of questions, like, how can you be 11 and in seventh grade? To which he answered, "It's true, I skipped a grade." I skipped first grade. Oh! So like I'm super smart, unlike some people. Thanks for emailing. Well, thanks for this. But seriously, it's true that every other podcast out there is crap, and I mean it. Yeah, thanks.
Don't take that personally. Other podcasts out there.
He probably hasn't listened to all of them.
Although I just want to say that it's super cool that fifth through seventh graders are listening to us, because when I was that age, all of my friends were in their 20s. And I'm now in my 20s and feel like I have not reciprocated to people who were my age when I was, 12. So this feels like I'm connecting in a way that I probably should with like-minded middle schoolers and so forth. Because if it hadn't been for those, I guess I hesitate to say old people, but I guess, yeah, late 20s seemed really old to me when I was 12. So... if it hadn't been for them, I would have like had no friends at all. So.
All right. So now we're gonna listen to a voicemail again. What?
No,
what?
No. Go. I'm just saying, rock on, middle schoolers. Rock on.
Hi, Ninja Consultants. This is Erede, from Randomness. I sent a couple emails to Aaron. We've talked back and forth, and I'm the person that, Aaron, I sent you that totally sweet birthday fin art with Rock Lee. Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah, so I was wondering, and so was Raj, if you've listened to any of my podcasts. Probably haven't, that's okay. Are my emails so horribly bad that you don't want to respond to them? Because that's like half my friends don't want to respond to my emails because they're like, I don't know what it said. So I'm just wondering, so that's about it. Oh, wait, no, I have a question. What the hell is Skype? I have no idea what that is. I have some idea what it is, but I really don't. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's it.
All right, so I said I would answer on the show that I would explain to her and my mother what Skype is.
Right.
Because they're the only two people who don't know.
Skype is what you get when you don't wash your gym clothes.
No, you're thinking of something else. So Skype is like a free internet phone service. And you download a bit of software for your machines, both platforms, Windows and PC. And then a lot of computers nowadays have internal microphones, but, you can get external ones or whatever, too. And then if you're online and you have a good internet connection, not like my mom, but,
Right, not like Aaron's mom.
Yeah. Not dial-up, let's hope. Some kind of broadband, although it might work on dial-up. And you just talk to people online with your voice instead of chatting. And... like the phone, except for people don't really use it in the same way as the phone necessarily.
And I really, at this point, have nothing but nice things to say about Skype. It's really astounding to me. We tried using it, 9 months ago?
Yeah, we used
kind of crappy.
To Andrew the Ninja.
Right. You may remember that show. But, in fact, now it's so much better that a few weeks ago we were playing Dungeons & Dragons. I'm sure that's
Skype is an excellent tool for playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Right. So we were playing D&D, and one of our players was in Singapore, and it was like having her in the room with us. Absolutely astounding. It was as though she was not just talking through the computer, but that she was the computer.
You're crazy. All right. But the point is, you could hear everyone in the room talking. So one major problem playing tabletop Dungeons & Dragons is it's hard to get all your players in the same place at the same time.
Right. Unless you're really awesome because you're in sixth grade and you have summer vacation and everyone lives on the same block, and then you can just play until forever.
Yeah, but that hardly ever happens. So
well, not when you're in your late 20s.
So one reason people like one use of Skype also is if people play World of Warcraft and they want to be able to talk to everyone in their guild or whatever at the same time, they'll all be on Skype while they're all playing, so that way they can just talk to each other back and forth. And that's how you get things like the Leroy Jenkins video.
Right.
Where everyone is recording their conversation apparently and also somehow recording their game. But it works for tabletop games too, where as long as you don't let the player on the other end roll the dice where no one can see it. But I guess there's a software application you found that would also do that, that it would, like, everyone would share a thing online that would roll the dice for you?
Yeah. Well, as I didn't know that such a thing would exist, but of course it makes sense that it would. That's what the internet was designed to do.
Right.
Or as William Gibson has said, the future is here, it merely has yet to be distributed.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's it. We've talked about not in high school girls, or in high school girls, every practice. My birthday. We're going to be at Anime Boston in a couple weeks. I have a table in Artist Alley. Stop by, and you can buy a t-shirt. The t-shirts came in the mail. They're very great looking.
They're really super swell.
They're super sweet.
You
I got them.
Say swanky.
I didn't use Cafe Press or anything like that. I got them printed at some place called Acme Print. They did a pretty good job. But I also have word on the street that another t-shirt printing place that's pretty good is Dogwig in New Jersey. Because a friend of mine gets all his shirts for his comic book printed there. So we're not going to put the t-shirts for sale online yet. We're going to start selling them at Boston and see how it goes. Depending on how many we sell, we'll have more reprinted. And I told a number of people that I would mail them out shirts, and you might hear this before you get your shirt in the mail. So don't worry, I'm really slow about mailing things. I'm just going
to
sell...
Not that slow. They're all ready to go.
I'm also going to sell buttons and things. Oh. So two other projects to plug. One of them is... We mentioned in our previous show, I want to start a compilation zine sketchbook thingy for Artist Alley that's just pictures of Inuyasha and Dasha Stampede riding a chocobo. So if you're a fan artist, please draw that and email it to me at ninjaconsultant@gmail.com. It can be any medium. It can be super deformed, not super deformed. You can have...
In fact, it should be super realistic. That would be the best.
You can have...
Photorealistic chocobo.
Yeah, I don't want to see a photorealistic Vash Stampede.
I do.
You can have the chocobo riding Vash Stampede if you want. If it's an adult thing, please just warn me at 10.
You don't have to.
Warn it. Say in the subject line if it's safe for work or not.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Because I check my email at work.
Yes, it will.
So, there's that. And also, if you are a fan artist, and you have entered previously the Tokyo Pop's Rising Stars of Manga contest and failed, and that you got rejected or not published in their compilation like I did, then you can participate in me and Allison's project.
The Falling Stars of Manga.
I wanted to call it the Losing Stars of Manga. But
Seeing Stars of Manga.
She calls it the Rising Stars of Manga Refugee. Refugees. So we've started a live journal group where you can post a link to your comic that didn't get in, and eventually we hope to come up with a compilation book that will be the group of artists will put out a comic book of things that weren't good enough for Rising Stars Manga, but maybe they are good enough to be in a different book.
Yeah, in fact, we're possibly too good.
Maybe they were
for Tokyo
Pop. Or they just weren't manga like enough or whatever.
They didn't suck.
But there's no real deadline on that, and I'll post a link in the show notes and everything. It's just, that's a long-term thing. All right. That's it. I think in the future we're going to have more, first of all, our website will be redesigned. But second, we're going to start doing shows with a bit more of a segmented structure, like more My Life in Fandom segments, because those were always very popular.
Yep.
More I Can't Believe You Haven't Watched This Yet segments, because we got all kinds of great feedback about those.
Yeah.
And, more things where we actually pay attention to listener feedback, because we often... We have to ignore it.
I'm sorry. Well, we don't mean to.
No, we read all of your emails. We listen to all the voicemails. I just don't always have time to play them in the show.
Yeah.
Maybe more AMB reviews or whatever.
As soon as some more good ones come across the wire, because, oh my God, what we were watching last night.
There's like 40 left to make right. It was terrible. It's really long.
The things that we do.
All right.
For anime.
Anyway, so okay. That's it for the show. Because my computer's running out of memory.
Peace out.